is on.
Introducing Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Skinny Boss. B-O-S-S.
Hello, hello. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington, and I'm super excited for my next guest today. I have Miss Stephanie Rootman. She's the newly, this is hot off the presses, she just got a promotion as the Director of Real Estate and the Legal Counsel for Montgomery Housing Partnership, which is an affordable housing developer, mainly in Montgomery County, Maryland. So I'm super excited for our conversation today. So, Stephanie, how are you?
Thank you, Jessica, for that nice introduction. I am honored to be here with you. As I was just saying, you're one of the most impressive women I've met. So thank you for inviting me to be here today.
Oh, you're too much. Thank you for those kind words. Only because I get to be around people like you. So,
and mine.
All right. First and foremost, let's jump right into it. So how did you first get started in real estate?
Yeah, so as I thought about that, I've always had an innate interest in housing. Mm-hmm. And when I went to law school, I always knew I wanted to work in housing law. And why, I'm of course not 100% sure, but I think it was because my housing always had a big influence on my experience. And if I think back, almost all of my houses and apartments that I've ever lived in have been torn down or gutted. Mm. So I think that, you know, that kind of development, redevelopment has always been with me. Also, you know, your house, I grew up in a very small apartment with my parents, and I always felt like they were on top of me. Like I always said, if I had 3 feet, I could put one in my room, one in the kitchen, and one in the living room. So I was always interested in housing. And then when I went to college, I was an urban studies major, I think also with this interest in housing and how cities work mm-hmm. and function. And then my first job out of college, I thought, oh yeah, I definitely have to work in housing. So I went to work at the Census Bureau in housing, which was horrible and horribly boring. So as I moved on and went to graduate school, I also knew I wanted to work in housing. So I guess to answer the question, I always had this innate interest, and then it just followed me in academic studies and also in my work. And then when I graduated law school and graduate school, I worked as a legal counsel in the State Housing Finance Authority in Illinois. Mm-hmm. So I always had my fingers in affordable housing and spent summers working in affordable housing as well. So I guess how did you first get started in real estate is I lived in an apartment.
Nice. Okay. So your background as far as education is in urban planning, how do you think that's kind of shaped your perspective of, you know, how you are as an affordable housing developer today?
Yeah. I think that, you know, as we say at MHP, we don't just work on the bricks and sticks, right? The housing affects the whole community. You have to kind of, in order to make change, you have to look at housing, but you also have to look at the community, the neighborhood, the fabric. Everything's kind of interconnected, and all those pieces make a place either great or make a place fail, mm-hmm. right? So you have not just housing, but you have transportation, you have food, you have community resources, and that all affects the way people are interacting, right? And so, you know, you can't just plop a building down in the middle of a cornfield, because that's nothing, right? Mm-hmm. But if you put it in the cornfield and connect it with other mm-hmm. services, amenities, places to go everywhere, then you've got a real thing going. And I think that's what urban studies kind of does. It talks about the whole of how cities develop and what makes them lively and how they tick and how the people within the cities, you know, how they got there, mm-hmm. you know, how people are moving around, you know, what different ethnic groups started where, why they wound up there, what their jobs are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all connected.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you just put a building there, it's just a building, but you got to have those different amenities and ways to get around and whatnot, which really makes it a neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in the South Side of Chicago. You know, one thing that connected the South Side to the downtown was there was all these buses that went there. So we were always kind of taking the bus back and forth. And without that bus connection, you would have just this island in the South Side.
Right, absolutely. That's why I feel like the government now is definitely starting to put more emphasis on transit-oriented development.
Yeah.
To keep from, like you said, having those people kind of on an island where they can't, you know, connect to the services, they can't get to the downtown, they can't get to, you know, the sporting events and venues and whatever. Obviously, and people got to get to those places to be able to get the job. So
that's right. And also, there's a big emphasis now on walkable communities, and people want to be able to go to their job, come back, and then, you know, walk to their amenities, right? Walk to their grocery store, walk to their park, or, you know, walk to some activities that they're involved in. So
absolutely.
I think, you know, all that is so important in the success of a community.
Absolutely. So before you were more focused, I guess, as the actual developer, like you started your career as an attorney for the real estate transactions. And I don't know, a lot of people might not know, when you have, especially one of these big affordable housing deals, there's tons of attorneys involved in the transaction to make it go forward. So can you tell me about a project that kind of stands out to you that you specifically worked on from the attorney perspective?
Sure. You know, when I worked at the Housing Finance Authority in Chicago, I represented the agency. So we were working on deals, closing deals from the agency side, from the subordinate lending side. And, you know, we didn't get that close to the actual deal. But after that, and I moved to DC for my husband's job, I worked for a small law firm whose main focus was representing public housing authorities around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting because it took the local out of the housing. So before I worked in all in Illinois, and now we were representing developer housing authorities as developers all over the country. So I don't remember that many specifics from that period, but I remember that one housing authority I worked for was Muncie, Indiana. And I had to go there to travel there to work with the housing authority. And, you know, it was interesting that the pretty much something very similar was happening all around the country. So you have, you know, a lot of small housing authorities trying to do development in their little town with limited resources and limited people even to live it, to live in the, in the developments. And so, you know, what I guess was interesting was not the specific deal, but just the fact that, you know, this complicated process for development was going on everywhere. And then, you know, affordable housing is very sophisticated. So you had these people who were, you know, maybe good at what they did in the housing authority, but not very sophisticated developers just because they didn't do it all the time. And so you were trying to help them out with these developments. And so the same thing was going on in lots of different places. That was one takeaway. And that people who weren't that sophisticated doing development were trying to do development. It wasn't really the most successful model. And then also, you know, I think for me, that experience of working for housing authorities around the country wasn't that great. Like, what I preferred was the local development. And I think that that's kind of one big piece, one piece of what led me to stop doing development around the country to start working for a local organization, because I just felt it more.
Right.
I like to feel, some things feel right and some things kind of don't.
Right.
So, yeah.
Oh yeah. These transactions are super complicated. They take, you know, 18 months to 2 years or longer sometimes. So it's really a long haul. And like you said, like, if people don't really know what they're doing, it can kind of be a struggle. It's even a struggle with people that are, you know, very experienced, because every development is brand new. There's a different type of capital stack. There's new variables that go into each project. So if you're somebody that doesn't really work on that all the time, I could see that that would be very challenging.
That's right. That's right. I mean, they're complicated, and that's what makes them interesting, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what makes them challenging.
Absolutely. So, all right, you said that you wanted to, you know, kind of focus, and you wanted to be more localized. So what brought you to MHP? And, you know, you've been there now for quite a while. You're the seasoned veteran on the team. What's kept you there all this time?
Yeah. So, I mean, working, doing the legal side of the deals is just not that, it's not as fun as being a developer, first of all, right? Because you're just reviewing documents that are interesting, but it's a lot of sitting and reading documents.
Right.
So being a developer is 10 times more fun because there's so many more facets to it, right? Like, you're doing the relocation, you're working with the community, you're working with the politician, you're working on the financing, you know, you're working on complying with local law, then you're working to develop the plans and then implement them, and then there's closure. So it's a lot more fun. Working locally, I mean, maybe it's not for everybody. Some people like to work with national organizations and do big developments all over the country, but for me, there's something very special about building affordable housing in your own community.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very fulfilling, and creating spaces for people of all incomes just down the street. So I think, you know, the mission to work in an organization like MHP, you have to be mission driven. You have to be really interested in the mission, because, you know, you're not getting the big money, big prestige, but, and you have to feel good about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really want to work locally. So that's what I wanted to do. And then it's, you know, the people, right? I have a great boss, shout out to Artie Harris, and people who really, you know, are bright, who know what they're doing, who are willing to take chances and take chances on you. And who are, you know, interested not just in the building, but also in the whole fabric of the community. And like we were talking about, everything that makes a place great. So it's a lot of work. It's constant. So you gotta have fun. You have to have fun doing it. And so I think that, yeah, that's what's drew me there. Every deal is different.
Mm-hmm.
Every single deal is like, you never get bored. Every day is different. Every hour is different. So it's just, it's always a challenge. Deals take so long. You just, by the time you finish one, you forgot what the hell you did at the beginning of the last one. 5 years. But it's always a challenge, and it's always exciting.
Let me ask you kind of a curveball question. Like, when you're, you know, you're developing affordable housing, it's something that's not just a product, like it's something that is tangibly impacting people's lives and livelihoods, sometimes for generations. Do you ever feel like any kind of pressure or any, you know, like added weight on your shoulders, I guess, because this is something that's so important to people?
I mean, you do feel like you want to get it right. Like, people don't always think about how the built environment affects them, right? Everything from, you know, did you put lighting on the counter so that when people get older, they can see the counter?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, are the bedrooms in the proper space so that people aren't on top of each other? So, you know, is there enough community space so that you can build a community but not have the rooms feel too empty? Yeah, there, you know, I think like with anyone, any job, right, you have to make sure you get it right, because if it's not, yeah, it's not always wrong, but if it's not, it could always, you know, it could, you have to make sure that what you're doing is going to affect people in a positive way. So, you know, you don't always get it right, forget things. But there is a lot of pressure. Also, sometimes with big ticket projects, there's a lot of eyes on you. So if you're getting a lot of money from the county, there's a lot of people looking at you, and there's a lot of competing interests, right? So sometimes people will say, you know, the county can say, oh yeah, we gave you all this money for this project, you better make it look good, right? And then someone else in the county is like, we gave you all this money for the project, you better use it just for the bare bones and don't make it look too good. So you always have to kind of thread that needle carefully, that you know, with affordable housing, you want people to have a quality product, but you also want to make sure that you're using scarce resources appropriately. So there's a lot of players involved that you have to kind of keep happy, right? You know, things, yeah, I mean, things like parking, right? How much parking do you need at a building? Like, you know, we can build for now, but also we don't know what people will be doing 10 years from now. You know, do we have parking spaces? Do we have enough electric car parking spaces? You know, the world is changing, and we have to kind of plan for flexibility. I think that's a big thing in development, right? We need to, you know, our community spaces, do we want them to be static or not? You know, one thing I'm doing now is kind of working on not having computer rooms, right, but having computer carts so people can roll them out and move them wherever they need them. You know, now we might use them in classrooms, but you know, if we have little kids there now, they're using them for one thing, but in 10 years in the building, those little kids might have grown up, and then we need to use them, you know, somewhere else. So I think flexibility is key when planning for the future, because we don't know what the future is going to look like.
Awesome. So tell me about what you think is probably your most challenging development project you've worked on.
Yeah, so the most challenging development is anything with people. Anything you do with people. If you're just building a building from the ground up,
It's a
so
team
much
sport.
easier.
As
What?
I said, real estate is a team sport. So every project, you got to deal with others.
That's right. That's right. So if you're doing a relocation, I think that's one of the hardest things to do, because you're taking people who have lived in this building, you know, some for a short time, some can be 20 years, their building's falling apart, and you say, you know, look, we just want to move you out for like 6 months while we fix up your place. And they have to pick up everything. They have to go sort through everything. We got all kinds of people packing up. You know, some are more pleasant than others. Some with a lot more stuff than others. And then you tell them it's going to be 6 months, and then it's never 6 months. So, you know, then it's 10 months, and then they're, why am I here? And then you're like, you know, can you move the week before Thanksgiving? And then they have plans, and then they're out of town, and then they're sick, and then they don't like it, and then they call the cops. County. So anything with a relocation aspect, the more times you touch people, the harder it is.
I can only imagine, like, people have been living in these buildings for decades or generations, and then you kind of have to uproot yourself temporarily.
Yeah.
Then you're moving back. Obviously, the final product is, upgraded for you, but just, putting yourself, outside of your comfort zone for however long, like you said, it could be longer than you anticipate. So then you got to move them back.
Right. And it's complicated because, you know, some people need to move and they have certain requirements. You know, either they have kids in school and they have to be in a certain area, or they have a car and they need a place to park it, or they don't have a car and they need a place for transportation. And, you know, they have to be on a certain floor. So, you know, people are complicated. And so if you're dealing with people, it's always harder than dealing with bricks and sticks.
Absolutely. Well, I guess the main project that you're working on now is the Neville Street Apartments in Bethesda. And this is getting a lot of high profile, as you mentioned before. Like, a lot of politicians have their eyes on this, a lot of stakeholders involved in this project. So can you tell me a little bit about, what was the genesis for it and what's the progress on it so far? And when can we
Yeah.
expect it to be finished?
Right. So Apparently, it's in Rockville and not North Bethesda, although we do use those names interchangeably, the post office not. So it's in Rockville. It's at the corner of Neville Street and Old Georgetown Road at the terminus of Old Georgetown Road. And it's a triangular-ish shaped piece of property, along with a small parcel across the street that's been undeveloped. It's one of the few undeveloped parcels in the area. And we have the project under contract, and we're working through our purchase agreement and meeting the milestones of the entitlement. So right now we have planning board approval. We have sketch plan, preliminary plan, site plan. We're set to go. So we're waiting for the record plat to be recorded, and then we'll go forward, and we're working on the financing. So we have the financing in place. We have been awarded competitive 9% low-income housing tax credits, as well as 4% low-income housing tax credits. So it's sort of two deals in one. One building, it's going to be 163 units. Our hope is to close before the end of the year on the financing. Let's see, right now we have tax credits, county money, three forms of state money, money from Amazon, we have a state grant, and then we just applied for a Federal Home Loan Bank grant. So that's nine sources of financing. So it'll be, and two deals. So it'll be a doozy of a closing.
Yeah, and a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
There'll be a lot of cooks. There'll be very high legal fees. So we're hoping to close before the end of the year, and it'll be a two-year construction process. So it's going to be a beautiful development. As I mentioned, 163 units. Also, it's going to have outdoor space, a beautiful deck. I think it's about 3,000 square feet. It's going to have classrooms for children, adults in the building. It's going to have a community room. We have property management on site. There's a plaza out front. My idea is to make this corner kind of to enliven it and to have musical instruments on each of the three corners that we have. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have chimes. We're going to have dance chimes, things like that. And then there's a beautiful nature overlook that is running over the stream. So we're working with Donahoe Construction and Horko Pomak Architect, and Vika is the engineer. And it's Lurch Early is the attorneys, and it's a really fun project. Everyone's pretty excited about it. My idea is to call it Harmony Flats. So if you have any other ideas, you can let me know.
Okay.
But it's a great spot. It's kitty corner from the Harris Teeters. It's about two blocks from the metro, but it's sort of an undeveloped corner, right? Mm-hmm. There's a plumbing store down the street. There's a marijuana distributor. There's a utility company. So it's not a developed area. And so we're hoping that this will spur some more residential on that street. But it's a great property. We've got a lot of support from everybody, and look for it in 2025.
Okay. How did MHP get control of that land? Was it a private owner, or was it from an RFP?
Yeah, it's a private owner that owns it. And a lot of people have tried to develop it in the past. But they've not been successful. We've been more successful just because of the benefits that affordable housing gets through a pilot of payment in lieu of taxes and the real estate taxes and some other subordinate financing, and a lot of great work by our vice president of real estate to get the project under contract.
Awesome. Now I know this is like probably one of the biggest like new construction projects that MHP works on, but you've been there for a while, so you've had, you know, a ton of different projects that have finished and fully delivered, get occupied, and the people start living and thriving. How does it feel when you complete a project like that, you do your ribbon cutting, and it's open finally?
It's like birthing a baby. So it's it's a lot, bringing a lot of people together. It's a whole, takes a village kind of an effort. And when you see people living in it, and it's It's just a really great feeling that you've spent all this time and now it's actually being used by the people who are intended to use it. So, you know, and it's just regular people, right? You spend all this time with all these fancy lawyers and engineers and architects, and then a bunch of regular people walk in there, and that's a great thing. And it's a great way to bring people together also, right? You've got the community, you've got all kinds of people. So yeah, it takes a really long time, but then it's great because, you know, there's people who move in and there's the people who move in after that. People cycle through it and, you know, you get to see it for years to come.
Absolutely. So you talked about wanting to like really be involved locally in developing affordable housing and you're passionate about that, but Montgomery County in particular, obviously it's always been kind of like one of the more expensive areas in this DMV area. But they're trying to focus more on providing more affordable housing, but obviously that's, you know, that's like changing, that's like moving a 80,000 pound whale. So what are some of the changes, I guess, you want to see politically that would help from the county perspective and maybe the state of Maryland that would, you think it would make it easier to be able to continue to build more affordable housing?
Yeah, so, you know, while it is very expensive in Montgomery County, we're also super lucky that we have a county that's very supportive of affordable housing and provides quite a bit of subordinate financing. So, you know, we are able to do things that you couldn't do in counties where they didn't have this additional monies. So, you know, if you talk about what more can the county or state do, you know, providing additional funds is certainly the most helpful, especially now while we have rising interest rates and rising construction costs, which have really kind of damaged and put on hold a lot of deals that didn't make it over the last 2 years during the pandemic. So, you know, more subordinate funds, that's always good. Montgomery County has been great about giving out pilots to give developers a break in real estate taxes. That's very helpful. I think we could also, you know, shortening the process, the entitlement process for doing doing new construction. I think waiving certain fees, transfer taxes would also be helpful. If they waive the real estate transfer taxes, we move properties into a single purpose entity when we start the tax credit process. That would be helpful. I mean, I think a lot of times it comes down to money. I think also exercising the county's right of first refusal more often is helpful. I know some of the other neighboring counties are starting to do that. So working to identify buildings that they wanted to preserve as affordable, especially at the Purple Line going through the county, that's been a big push of ours and of the county's. So making sure that there isn't a loss of our naturally occurring affordable housing.
What about like the response to like NIMBYism, since this is like a really affluent area? I know that's a challenge with, you know, like the local politicians, they may want to change the zoning to allow more dense housing, but then, you know, you're fighting against people that are like, I don't want this in my neighborhood. I don't want, you know, a large high rise in my community where there's predominantly single family homes or something.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, I actually haven't run up against it that much. We have run up against it sometimes. Most of the time, if you're doing a renovation, people are happy that you're renovating something that's old, right? So you don't get too much pushback. Most of the pushback comes with the new construction.
Right.
So because then you're taking a place where either there was nothing or you're redeveloping, you're knocking something down, you're building more. We have had a lot of good community support. And I think, you know, starting early with talking to the community about what you're doing, you know, what kind of people are moving in, you know, regular working people. You know, just continuing to have state and local support, even if there is some pushback. But we've encountered some of that, but not a ton.
Gotcha. All right. So we talked about, you know, you got the new promotion, you're working hard on Neville Street, which is going to be, you know, 2-3 year process. What else is next for you? Not just necessarily with MHP, but just for Stephanie, what's next for you?
Right. Well, I mean, I've had this new job one whole week, so I can't really think about what. but I think in terms of, you know, the role as being director of real estate under Artie, our vice president of real estate, you know, my job will be to supervise all the new people that'll be coming into the department. So, you know, one big push is to hire more people as we grow and we have more and more projects in our pipeline. So what's next is getting more folks on board, getting more people excited about affordable housing. And then, you know, there's always ways to, because these deals are so complicated, to make things more efficient. So I think, you know, working smarter is something that we need to do, especially during the great resignation, everyone's having a hard time finding new folks. But so working smarter, trying to find ways that our departments can work together. Better and just getting excited for the next round of projects.
Awesome. Well, I'm definitely going to be staying tuned and, you know, riding past the projects that MHP still has in the pipeline. So definitely looking forward to that. All right. So this has been a great conversation, but I want to shift to the last segment of the show, which is called The Fabulous Four. It's four questions that I ask every guest. So I'm excited for your answers for these. So first and foremost, what is your favorite book about real estate?
Yeah, so I think that the, you know, your favorite book is the book that you want to read, the one that you haven't read. So I've had this book sitting next to my bed for years now. It's called Why Buildings Stand Up. Let's see, Mario Salvadori. So I've never read it, but I really am interested in why buildings stand up. So that would be one of my favorite books, even though I can't really recommend it because I haven't read it. But I also, in the last couple of years, read the book Evicted by Matthew Desmond. So talking about the eviction rates and why people are evicted. There was even an exhibit on it at the National Building Museum. That was a great book. And I was getting a new one out called Poverty, which I haven't read yet. That's a good must read.
Okay, awesome. That's like my favorite question because I always get so many good suggestions and I'm still got a never ending list of books that I got to read. So
yeah.
Awesome. Second question is what advice would you give to your younger self when you're just getting started in your career?
I think that, you know, not every job works out great. Not every relationship works out great. It's just find something good in whatever you do. You know, if you have something, if you're like, oh, this is definitely not my end all job career, it's just, okay, well, take something good from that and then, you know, then go forward. But finding a little nugget of something good is always a good idea.
Right. I love that advice. All right. Three is what topic in real estate do you want to learn more about?
Yeah. So, you know, with the fast changing financial market, there's always new execution. So for me, it's always like finding out what is the next financial execution and then becoming, you know, agile at it. So right now we're doing this Freddie Tell execution using funds from Freddie. So I guess I would say staying on top of the latest bond execution based for financing affordable housing.
Absolutely. And the new thing I keep hearing about more often than not now is this like solar tax credits, PACE funding.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. We're working on that too. Learning about the solar tax.
All right. So finally, this is not really a question, but can you give a shout out to another woman in real estate?
Yeah. So there's a woman named, Tammy Axelrod, she used to work with us, and now she is the head of responsible investment at PRP Real Estate Investment Management. Basically, she's the head of asset management at the management arm of Elm Street Development. So she was great to work with, and she's a cool person.
Awesome. Shout out to Tammy. All right. So how can people get in touch with you if they want to talk to you more about what you do or possibly, I don't know, get hired at MHP or anything.
Sure. Well, they can go to the MHP website and look me up, and feel free to call or email. My email is srudman, srodman at mhpartners.org.
Awesome. Any last words of wisdom for the listeners?
Yeah, affordable housing is a great field. I think more people should go into it. And yeah, if people have questions, feel free to call.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Stephanie. This was a great conversation. I always learn something new every time I speak to you. You're such a gem.
Thank you. So nice to be here with you, Jessica.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. Signing off here, another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. Again, I'm your host, Jessica Washington. Really enjoyed the conversation today with my guest, Ms. Stephanie Rubman from Montgomery Housing Partnership, and really excited to see all the projects that she's working on coming soon. All right. Thank you for tuning in.